Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
I got a thing for marijuana, surrounds me like a sauna. When I get with you, I wanna tell the world how much I love ya.
I'm a cannabis man, got a joint in each of my hands.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wake Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news while working from home, tooling around the garage, homeschooling the kids, whatever. Just tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. Little Cheech and Chong. Ooh, I love marijuana for our intro for this segment. Appropriate, I guess. So, Kansas lawmakers may be moving closer to a vote on legalizing medical marijuana after being referred back to the House Federal and State Affairs Committee. Negotiations seem to be proceeding towards some kind of compromise, and it seems likely that when the House returns for the veto session, they will likely try and pass the bill at that time. Joining us now to give us an in-depth review of the bill and to debate the merits of legalizing medical marijuana and perhaps recreational marijuana is George Hanna from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and State Representative Eric Smith. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having us tonight.
My pleasure, guys. We'll start with Representative Smith. Let me ask you, you serve on the House Federal and State Affairs Committee. I served on that committee. In fact, we served together. I understand that, as I understand it, the two sides are currently negotiating on some compromise language to fix at least some of the major issues on the bill, correct?
That's what I understand, John. I think that... you know, this bill, even the syllabus of the bill, it takes 80 pages. It's a very complex bill, a lot of moving parts. So there are a lot of things in there that need going over. We spent 5 days, I believe, looking at this bill and trying to put amendments to it. You know, at the beginning there, you said it'd be an in-depth look at the bill. We could take up 30 minutes just going over the bill questions themselves.
Without a doubt.
So there's quite a bit there. It's referred to as medical marijuana, and there are a lot of sections in there that deal specifically with how we're going to dispense that and the agencies that will be involved and even costs of registration and those type of things, diseases included, et cetera.
The major issues that I've seen so far have been, you know, the low $5,000 grower permit fee because the Garber Amendment, frankly, allowed for open growing. Essentially anybody to grow marijuana in their backyard, basically. Another major issue with the bill is the list of ailments or maladies that would be covered by this. Allow someone to receive a medical marijuana recommendation for, I mean, essentially anything. Oh, doc, I've got anxiety. Oh, well, here's your marijuana recommendation. I assume, Eric, these are the stuff that they're trying to fix in this final product, correct?
Well, I think that's where you find most of your disagreement. Of course, they list out about 21 different maladies, and then they end it with saying any other chronic, debilitating, or terminal condition, not even medical, any condition, and a professional judgment of a state-licensed physician would be a detriment to the patient's mental or physical health if left untreated. I mean, if you just took that definition, my acid reflux would qualify me for marijuana,
right?
A marijuana card. So these are the things that gives great concern. Did we actually try to limit this, or does it open it wide open to a recreational light?
Right.
And I would argue, John, that most of the folks who are in favor of this are actually in favor of medical or recreational marijuana. And I would be interested if there's anyone who's not for recreational marijuana that's willing to speak in favor of this bill.
So, George, let me ask you, are you supportive of the bill? Do you think it goes too far, too restrictive? Do you support the changes? Or frankly, do you just want recreational marijuana?
Well, I'm actually supportive of the bill, and I agree that there are certainly some things that need to be ironed out. I think a lot of things are taken out of context depending on the lens you're looking at, because yes, the $5,000 cultivation fee, in my opinion, is too low. There needs to be a higher barrier to entry for anybody who wants to do it. However, even at the $5,000, you're still subject to zoning laws and your county requirements. So it's not like anybody can just grow in their backyard, as has been stated. It realistically, it needs to be tightened up considerably. So if you're over 5 acres and you're considered an agricultural farm and you are willing to put forward $20,000 or something like that, I see no reason why somebody shouldn't be able to grow in their 20-acre backyard. Because obviously a city isn't going to allow you to do it. County zoning comes into play. There's a lot of other restrictions in that. The other issue, though, with the qualifying conditions, it's also going through a licensed physician that has been trained by the Board of Healing Arts specific to cannabis recommendations. So at that point, you have got the advisory board and the Board of Healing Arts dictating what can and cannot be used to recommend in those qualifying conditions. So again, acid reflux, if it's bad enough, why not? But you would still have to meet a very high threshold put forward by the Board of Healing Arts.
So, George, are you supportive of recreational marijuana?
Personally, no, not at this time. I mean, I think that, while I think eventually everybody's going to get there, Kansas has ironically been fortunate enough to learn from the mistakes of a lot of states that have preceded us. And I think if it's done correctly and there are certainly enough regulatory bodies involved, I don't see why not. But right now, Kansas is just not equipped, I think, to do that.
Nor is there public support for recreational. I think there is public support for medical, but the numbers on recreational aren't there. Eric, you've been opposed to medical marijuana from the beginning. Are you able to support this bill, assuming they make the substantive changes to fix the ailments and some of the other things that we've talked about? Obviously, you'd have to see the final bill.
Yeah, that's right, John. I'd have to see the final bill. What some people, I think, don't understand about my position is, I think most people support what they call medical marijuana, but they have in their own mind what that means. They say I don't know who the entity is, says 70% of Kansans agree with medical marijuana. But if you drill down, what does that mean to each person?
Right.
Myself, I would be okay with if you limited it to, say, an affirmative defense for anybody who has a terminal illness, some of these maladies that are included, multiple sclerosis, ALS, some of these other Parkinson's disease. If you limit it, childhood seizures, those kind of things, and kept it very, very restricted. And then just said, you can't take their kids away if they're using it for that purpose. You can't arrest them or take them into custody if they have a letter saying they have that disease. I would probably be okay with that.
Well,
but that's not what we're doing.
No, and I think that's the key, is protecting the folks who truly need it. I've often said on this show the story that former Congressman, former Secretary of State Pompeo used to use about his son who went to college out on the West Coast, he used to joke that his son called back and said, "Dad, it's amazing. Half the kids in my class have glaucoma." And it's just the joke because of how easy it was to get. But, Eric, what do you say to those who suggest that, you know, marijuana is safer than opiates? It's impossible to overdose on. It's less addictive. That's an argument that I have heard from supporters of both recreational and medical marijuana.
Well, you know, John, I think one of the things that we deal with up there, people will often say legislators don't understand what they're legislating on. I think this is one of those subject matters. When you talk about what we're actually going to allow to be in Kansas isn't allowed in Amsterdam. And we don't understand that because we don't look at what's occurring elsewhere. I think that when I said to the representative who was carrying the bill, this is absolutely an addictive substance, he says, what proof do you have of that? Well, my Lord, just put marijuana and addiction into Google or any search engine and see what the pages pop up. Now, you're going to have to get past the ones that have paid a lot of money to come up first. But there, you know, the cannabis use disorder, et cetera, is a real thing. Addiction centers, check with any well-known addiction center and ask them about marijuana addiction. See if it's out there. Don't take my word for it.
No, and there is quite a bit of evidence. The CDC has multiple studies that show there is an addictive component to marijuana. Let's pan out a little bit and look at this from the 30,000-foot level. George, what do you say to those who point to CDC data that says, you know, 1 in 10 marijuana users will become addicted? For people who begin using marijuana before the age of 18, that number rises to 1 in 6. And that's CDC studies that show there is an addictive component to marijuana use.
Well, I'm not even going to dispute the fact that there is an addictive, with marijuana. My question there is that, you know, we certainly have got many other things, including, you know, a Big Mac and alcohol that are addictive.
Sure.
It's more psychological and not a physical addiction, which I think is very important to distinguish between the differences. I also would like to kind of jump back a second, if we can, in reference to the numbers. Pew Research Center just actually came out with a brand new research article from the 16th of this month that shows recreational nationally is now 60%, with 92% of the respondents in favor of marijuana as a whole. And it actually even breaks it down to GOP, which at this point is polling nationally, keep in mind, at 88%. And then, of course,
I do have to remind you, though, George, that Pew Research also said that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. And Pew Research also said, so I mean, I just have to point out to you that polling data is, having been in politics for over 30 years and having run multiple elections, and including my own, polls are worth the paper they're written on. And that's about it. Just to give you that.
I'm not going to argue with that one either. Having run for office myself and been on many elections, you are absolutely right.
What about, let me ask you this, George, what about the volumes of medical data that show marijuana use directly affects the brain? I think I talked to someone recently who was, that's their concern, is the side effects. It affects the brain. It also affects brain development, specifically the parts of the brain responsible for memory, learning, attention, decision-making, coordination, emotions, reaction time. All of these elements are affected by marijuana use, and further studies have shown that heavy users can have short-term problems with attention, memory. It all affects relationships and mood. There's just so many side effects. I think that's got to be something. I mean, this is why you've got to really restrict the access to folks who truly need it, because if I'm fighting debilitating disease or chronic pain, okay, maybe if I got memory or learning issues, that's not as important as dealing with cancer. See what I mean?
Well, I agree, and I appreciate you putting chronic pain into that sentence, because as somebody who myself has undergone 22 different orthopedic surgeries, where I have nearly everything from the waist down replaced orthopedically, chronic pain is something that I feel needs to be in that list, and that's just one of our sticking points that we have. I agree also that there's significant side effects, But that's up to the person, the user, and their physicians to weigh the pros and cons and whether or not the squeeze is worth the juice or not, because if it clearly affects all of those things, but it doesn't necessarily specify if it's a negative effect or a positive effect, and if it is negative, do the benefits outweigh the side effects?
And that's the key.
That's, again, where the physician would come in, yes.
That's the key. Eric, let me ask you, you're an undersheriff. You've been in law enforcement for a number of years. The National Fraternal Order of Police stated that a joint study, recently stated a joint study conducted by the University of Colorado, Johns Hopkins University, and Harvard Medical School released an study about the impact of legalization of marijuana in Colorado. And they determined the following. There's evidence of persistent black market marijuana, despite the fact that it's legalized, higher rates of traffic fatalities while driving under the influence, an increase in marijuana-related poisonings and hospital visits for children. I think that's because of the gummies and some of the other stuff. There's no reduction in crime or significant increase in tax revenues. And most critically for me, use of marijuana by children less than 17 years of age is rising faster than the national average, and arrests of juveniles in Colorado for marijuana-related offenses is up 5%. You come from a law enforcement background. Is that factoring into your opposition to the bill?
You know, John, I think it's easy to pick on Colorado. They've put together a marijuana program, I mean, in just a handful of years, and frankly, they opened a Pandora's box. So you talk to law enforcement over there, and they simply say, try to stay out of it as long as you can. I know you're not going to be able to stay out of it forever, but gosh, stay out of it as long as you can. We are overwhelmed. You know, you're going to have problems. Anytime you're going to introduce legalization of any type of controlled substance, you're going to have problems with it. I mean, look at what we've done with opioids, and they're completely legal as long as you have a prescription, right? But the problems have been overwhelming in some areas. And Colorado is just a great place for data if you're anti-marijuana, if you want to go there and take a look at it. You know, the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area report is put down as being full of lies, but they correlate with what you're saying there. I mean, those statistics are there, and just about any law enforcement in any of the states that have legalized can tell you the problems are there. But, you know, instead of law enforcement, let's look at mental health and ask the mental health professionals in those states just what the impact has been. And Kansas, already, we are struggling with mental health services, and now we're going to do this. And to me, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse. I mean, we're just opening that up for us. And there's any number of studies that we can look at for how it has impacted mental health and mental health costs for those states that have legalized. And I respect Mr. Hanna's position on some of these things. I mean, he takes it from a more reasonable point of view than I've heard from many.
Oh, so have I, yeah.
On what the restrictions should be. And I think that there is probably some common ground that we could find in these things. I don't think that it's absolute no on my side and absolute yes on his. There's obviously a lot of little things that we've got to hammer out and do the right thing before we open this box up.
I think you're right. George, I've only got a minute or so left here. I did want to ask you one thing. Obviously, I think one argument in favor of medical marijuana is that it's far less addictive or damaging than opioids. That's a terrible crisis our country is facing. And yet, the marijuana products of today are high in potency compared to, this is not, you know, Willie's marijuana. This is not the Cheech and Chong marijuana. The potency today can reach 99% pure THC. It's not your granddaddy's wacky weed. Is that a concern for you? The chemical alteration of the product makes it a lot more efficient, a lot more potent.
It is and it isn't. The concern is actually more in the production process. You need to make sure that you keep out things like pesticides, and impurities that otherwise would be getting in the system, especially in your grandpa's wacky weed. Who knows what it was grown with? However, at the same time, in the bill, we've got it down to 75% at a retail level, and I think that that's an appropriate place to put it. One, It makes it more cost effective for the patient. And at the same time, though, it makes it more efficient for the dispensaries to be able to, you know, produce it and sell it. The other concern I've got is the back to the dispensaries is that the significant cost incurred to open up a cultivation or a dispensary is why I think and how we can do a lot of our policing within this state.
I think you're right.
My suggestion is that we get it to at least to a bill that puts it forward to the advisory board, which of course is appointed by the various secretaries in the administration and the governor, and look at this from a very pragmatic perspective. For every study that, you know, we can find in opposition, I can go to normal.com and pull up a study that says the opposite. And I think having waited as long as we have as a state allows us to really approach this from a cautious perspective, do it right, because the patients of Kansas need this desperately. But at the same time, without them, we can't have a viable business and the revenue for the state. And so it's equally important that we look at this from both sides, I think.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a fascinating discussion. Thank you both for joining us this evening and participating. I imagine the whole House will probably be doing something similar to this in a week or two when they return for veto session. George, Eric, thank you very much for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure. Thanks again for joining us, guys.
You bet. Thank you, John. Thank you, George.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give us a call. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.